Good morning, church. I hope you are doing well. It's a rainy morning. We thank God for the rains. We only pray that people wouldn't have to deal with flood again. Amen. So this morning, I'm not here to introduce the speaker. I'm here to share the word of God with us. Amen. All right. I'm here to share with us from Luke's gospel. As Luke the physician records for us in his account of the gospel to his friend. When you read Luke chapter 1, he's writing to a man called, he calls most excellent Theophilus. Whether he's his friend or his disciple, only Luke knows. And perhaps because it's about prayer, you may be thinking that, oh, if someone talks about prayer, then he has figured it out. Or he has figured it all out about prayer. No. I'm also learning from Jesus, as the disciples asked, teach us to pray. So this morning, I'm here to lead us as a church to come to the Lord Jesus to ask him to teach us to pray. Amen. Please, let's pray. Our Lord, our King, our Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come. This morning, as we come before you humbly, and like the disciples, ask you to teach us to pray. Commit all hearts here into your hands, including mine, and we ask that, Lord, you will speak to us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built in prayer. Speak, O Lord. This morning we come. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is one of the most known parts of Scripture. If you grew up in church, you may have heard it. If you grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian school, even in our government schools, most likely you may have heard the Lord's Prayer. A story is told of an exasperated motorist, someone who was tired of looking for a parking spot in the streets of London. In Ghana, we don't do ticketing. But he was so tired, he had an appointment, so he wrote this note on his windshield. He says that, I cycled this block 20 times. I have an appointment to keep. Forgive our trespasses. When the owner of the car came, when the man came back, he found a reply to his note, which says that, I have cycled this block 20 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. And so this tells us that the Lord's Prayer is very common. It's very popular. And people can use it even in this way. But it's a very rich structure of prayer the Lord gives us in the Lord's Prayer. And thinking about all the things that Jesus Christ did, all the things that the disciples could have asked the Lord Jesus to teach them to do. The Lord Jesus taught the word of God with authority. In Matthew 7:28, the Bible says that when he had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one with authority and not as the teachers of the law. He performed miracles, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and did so many other things that the Bible says that if every one of them were written down, I suppose not that even the whole world will not have enough room for the books that will be written. Yet, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus to teach them to pray. When there is a religious leader, one of the common things for his followers to ask him is for him to teach them to teach and not to pray. So this is a request that is quite interesting to have come from the disciples. In Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, which was in the setting of the Sermon on the Mount, they asked him to teach him to teach them to pray. And Jesus seemed to have repeated the same prayer in Luke's account. There are variations, and these variations do not necessarily conflict each other. It doesn't mean that we can't trust the account of the Gospels. And so Jesus repeats this structure. And the fact that he does that repetition means that there's something to take note of here. The variations do not tell us to focus on the pattern of prayer as a very rigid insistence of form. I'm sorry, I'm using a lot of big words. I'll calm down. And the fact that he repeats them doesn't tell us to be very ritualistic about the prayer. Imagine Peter, who was walking on the sea with Jesus, wanting to follow ritualistically to the Lord's prayers, the Lord's pattern of prayer here. He says that, Lord, Father, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. By the time he says, Lord, help me, he would have been swallowing water. And so we are not called to a ritualistic insistence on this. This is not what the Lord does. We are not enslaved to it. But then there is a lot of wisdom for us as Christ's disciples to pay careful attention to this structure and logic of prayer, because it is very valuable to us. The very part, first part of it, is very vertical. It says it has to do with God. God as our Father, God's name be hallowed, God's kingdom come. The second part, quite horizontal, our daily bread, our sins, our temptation. Today we will focus on the first part, and next week there will be the focus on the other part of the scripture or the account. Luke's account opens like this. Jesus Christ was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. It seemed that the question was triggered by an observation of Jesus Christ praying. They asked the question because they saw him praying. They saw him and they asked him. Jesus modeled to his disciples prayer. They saw how the Lord Jesus had a consistent relationship with his Father, and they desired that. In the book of Luke, we see the disciples on several occasions observe how Jesus prayed. And so let me just make a list of some of the times we see Jesus pray in the book of Luke. Luke 3:1, Jesus was being baptized, he was praying. Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. 16:12-16, he went to the mountainside to pray, spend the night in prayer to God. 9:28-29, he prayed for Peter. He took Peter and James and went up to pray. 22, Jesus prayed for Simon Peter. 22:41, he withdrew about a stone throw away from them and knelt down and prayed. 22:44, he prayed more earnestly. 22:45, he rose and prayed. Luke characterizes Jesus' life of prayer. The request for him to teach the disciples to pray was based on the fact that Jesus Christ himself was praying. He demonstrated his life of prayer. And Christ, who was 100% God and 100% man, constantly demonstrated his dependence on God in his humanity. When he's praying, he's demonstrating his full dependence and connection to his Father. Jesus Christ intentionally demonstrates to us prayer. And Jesus Christ, as the leader, intentionally demonstrates prayer. And so we as leaders are called to demonstrate or model Christ-likeness to the people we lead. So the disciples kept watching Jesus. They kept seeing him. And they realized that his life of prayer is indeed changing him. That was what informed how he lived. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus Christ responds and says, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. And so what is this telling us? He's saying that prayer is not conditional. Prayer is not out of convenience. It is an imperative. We have to pray. Hallelujah. He calls us to pray. And then he doesn't just say it. He demonstrates it. As disciples, it is necessary that we pray. And so Jesus Christ responds, when you pray. In Luke 18, he follows up with a parable to tell them of the effect that men ought to pray and not faint. Now, let's look into the content of the prayer, the very first part of the prayer. It begins with Father. Father. for those of us who are around church and in our day, it may feel like it's the usual. It doesn't strike a chord to call God Father. But this was very alien to people of Jesus' day, to call God Father. You remember Jesus Christ called God Father and he was about to be stoned by the Pharisees. It was very alien in their day for people to call God their Father. And thankfully, we have been brought in to call God our Father. And so in John 20:17, Jesus says that, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Paul emphasizes in Galatians 4:6, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." And then Romans 8:15 to 16 says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And so we have traveled from a place to be able to call God Father. In the day of Jesus, we dare not call God Father. But then in this prayer, Jesus Christ invites his disciples, you and I, to call God Father. This statement of Father addresses God with such intimacy. And there is no other religion on earth, or none of these major religions, that can claim to call their God their Father. Christians are those who, through Christ, have been exalted to a specially close and intimate relationship with God. There's no longer this fear and dread of a stern God when we come to him. We have been invited to call God Father. If you should sit with this and just think about Jesus' day and think about our day, that we can call Jesus Father, what it does is it warms your heart up, because Christ has done this for us to be able to call Jesus Father. Abba is the most intimate of terms with God. And as his disciples, what he's doing with this is that he's inviting us into a relationship with the Father. We are praying not just to God, but we are praying to a loving, a caring, and a kind Father. And this is deliberately how Jesus opens up the prayer, for us to be aware of who we are coming to, that we are coming to our Father. We are coming to God. However, it moves on to say that, "Father, hallowed be your name." Amen. Hallowed be your name. The fact that we are calling God Father doesn't immediately neglect the fact that he's God. He is our Father, and yet he is God. He's our Father, and yet he is to be hallowed. He's our Father, and yet he is to be feared. And so as you sit with this idea of calling God Father, also sit with this idea of the God who is to be feared. So we have seen Jesus call his disciples and model prayer to them. So he models prayer to them. They see him pray. They've seen in the account of Luke how Jesus prays. And so they ask him, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And Jesus, in his mercy, invites them into prayer. First, telling them, when you come to prayer, say, "Father." Father means that you have been given an intimate relationship with God, which is not the norm, which is something that the Jew can't comprehend. This is what somebody who is in any other religion can't comprehend. And so Jesus Christ invites them, when you come, say, "Father." Father, hallowed be your name. And what it means for the name of the Lord to be hallowed is that he is holy. But even before that, when you read, as Asibi read for us, you saw that there is the use of the plural verb, us, our, we. And so what Jesus Christ is telling his disciples is that you are not just yourself. What the Lord's Prayer does for us is that it invites us, it underscores our unique relationship with one another as individuals. And it also reorients how individualistic we are as a people. The Lord's Prayer calls us to admit and suffer in how interconnected we are as believers and as a church. And this shift reminds us of the second commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Christ gives us a new commandment saying that love one another in John chapter 13, 34 to 35. And so, addressing God in intimate terms need not cancel the respect and reverence we have for his holy name. God's name is to be honored and treated with reverence. We reverence God with our lips. Exodus 20 verse 7 says that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We also hallow the name of the Lord in our actions. When we live our lives consistent with the nature of God, we are hallowing his name. You are asking, Father, may my life and doctrine truly reflect whose life hallows your name. And so we don't hallow God's name just with words. We hallow his name with our lives. Amen. Amen. Praying the Lord's Prayer should get us to a point where we stand for God's name. We stand to not see God's name mocked. Hallelujah. The God we come to, as much as his Father, loving and caring, is also holy, and we need to not lose sight of that when we are approaching him. Psalm 111 verse 9 says that the Lord provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. In Isaiah as well, we see God hallow his name. In Ezekiel 38, 32, we see that the Lord says, I will execute judgment on him with plagues and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstorm, and burning sulfur on him and on his troops and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. They will know that I am the Lord. 1 Peter 3:15 says that, but sanctify the Lord, or revere Christ as Lord in your hearts. And so when we are saying here the Lord's Prayer, we are saying, Lord, I want to lift up your name. I want you to lift up your own name. I am calling him Father, not by just letting the fatherhood cause me to forget that he's exalted. Amen. And so John Piper says it very well. He says that God's love for us is not mainly his making much of us, but his giving us the ability to enjoy making much of him forever. The Father is good to us when his name is hallowed. Amen. And when we pray, this other part, your kingdom come, it says that we are praying that God's rule and reign should continually advance in our hearts and in the hearts of people until the day Jesus returns. And so praying your kingdom come, we pray with the hope that one day there will be a full realization of God's promise rule on earth. And this may be happening as Jesus Christ is here with us, but then we are praying for the full manifestation of God's presence with us. When we pray this, we are moved into missions. We are moved into seeking that many too are brought in by the Lord to know of his glory, to know of his praise. Hallelujah. And so, as a disciple, our prayer, as the Lord shows us in the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, is to help us to, as much as possible, be very selfless. We are thinking about God. We are thinking about his kingdom. We are thinking about his name. We are not only thinking about ourselves. Yes, in the latter, we would learn about give us our daily bread, give us. But then we are praying kingdom prayers which are focused on God himself. Amen. And this is how the prayer, Jesus deliberately begins the disciples' prayer. We usually call it the Lord's Prayer. But then Jesus Christ can't pray this prayer because Jesus Christ can't ask for forgiveness. He was the perfect man. The disciples' prayer, the Lord deliberately opens it this way so that we will stand in awe and worship before the Lord our King. And so, as disciples, we need to come to Jesus to teach us to pray. We need to come to him always to teach us to pray. Prayer is, someone, David Guzik says that prayer is so simple that the smallest child could pray, but it's so great that the mightiest man of God cannot be said to have truly mastered it. And so Jesus Christ doesn't just invite us into prayer, he models it. And he continues to model prayer for us because Jesus Christ still prays for us. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ still prayed for us. We are able to pray to God because Jesus prayed for us. We are able to call God Father because Jesus laid down his life for us. We are able to partake in the kingdom because Jesus brought the kingdom among us. And we are being sanctified because Jesus continues to pray for us. Hebrews 7:25 says that, therefore he also is able to save us forever, to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. His death, life, and resurrection has given us access to the Father in prayer, and he continues to pray for us as he sits at the right hand of God. He says that, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. And so we are able to pray because Jesus Christ continues to pray for you and I. Amen. And we model this as believers as we come together to pray for the city, to pray for people who are lost, to pray for one another in intercession. Amen. We who have been brought in can continue to walk with the Lord because Christ Jesus prays for us. Amen. Please let's pray.